In the name of Jesus, we have prayed.
Amen.
Let's declare the word of understanding before we sit down. One, two, let's go. Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It's giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen?
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
Understanding, revelation, that is your portion again today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Clarity, direction, light, insight. That's your portion today in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good.
All the time.
I said the Lord is good.
All the time.
Before you sit down and greet somebody on your left or your right, any person, welcome. You are very wise.
Say,
listen, you are very wise. Tell the person, gain more understanding, gain more wisdom. Say, the word will come to you to give you more understanding. All right, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let's take our seats. Let's sit down. And last time I explained that, I'll use the expression, you are very wise. When I say that, I'm talking about in the matter of making important choices in life. It's not as if you have wisdom in yourself, just that God is pouring wisdom into you because you have gone, you have made up your mind to go after His wisdom. The Lord is good. We are going through Psalm 119 to explain the most important prayer. Let's go over it again. The prayer of Gentiles is very different from the prayer of Christians. The prayer of the child of God has a different focus. It's unfortunate that many of the prayers we pray these days are not the prayers that the Lord Jesus expects us to pray as Christians, but that the prayers He said are those of Gentiles. He said, when you find Gentiles praying, mark what they say. They focus on what they will eat. They focus on what they will drink. They focus on how would they be clothed. And that's explaining to us that they focus on the necessities of life. They focus on material things. They focus on things that they feel personally that they need. But Jesus said those things must not be the focus of the prayers of the people of God. That they should have this attitude that God knows what I need even before I ask Him. So it shouldn't be a focus. So my prayers concerning material things or personal needs should be dismissive. Dismissive as in, it's on my mind, let me cast my burden upon the Lord. It is not as if I'm trying to get those things done by my prayer. No, I'm casting them off my mind. As believers, let's get this point again. We cannot focus on our material things, our personal needs, our ideas, and say that we are praying. Let me say this again. Many times those prayers get results. That does not mean that we did what was pleasing to the Lord. It is possible to ask God for meat in the wilderness, and He will give you the meat. Very, very possible. It does not mean that's what He wanted you to ask for. We know that Solomon, God gave him the opportunity to ask for anything. And then he omitted to ask for what most of us have asked for. And the Lord was impressed that he didn't ask for those things. The Lord was impressed that he did not ask for riches, long life, the life of his enemies. He didn't ask for any of those things. He asked for something that we all know about. God was impressed. And I wanted to understand that if he had asked for any of those things, we would have gotten them. Are you getting my point? You have to know how to read the scriptures. Sometimes people are trying to prove some things in the Bible. They don't know how to read. You know, the scriptures have different levels of things. The Bible has different levels of, let me use the expression that was used in the book of Acts. It has different levels of accuracy. Yes, Apollos came teaching accurately concerning the things of Jesus. Accurately. And Priscilla and Aquila looked at him and said, come. What do you know? John taught me. He said, that's all you know. He said, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. Then they took him aside and expounded those things to him more accurately. So there are different levels of accuracy. Sometimes people want to prove some how to pray. They take some examples from the scriptures and I say, listen, look, Jephthah made a vow. They say, when you want something from God, you will make a vow. Hear me. That's not Christianity. It works, does not make it Christianity. The only vow God wants from you is a vow of thanksgiving. That is, God, when you bless me, when you manifest something in my life, I will lay it to heart to give glory to your name. That's all. He made it clear, if I was hungry, I wouldn't ask you. God doesn't require you to solve his personal problems. It's very important. You know, we say that, look, you will tell God what you will do for him when he has done this. Once it goes beyond the matter of, I will ascribe the glory to you and you alone, you have gone too far. Like we say, nobody send you that one. You are running an errand that God didn't send you. Many of the things we practice in Christianity, trust me, they're not Christianity. And I hear them all the time. Big men preach it. I say, forget this thing. It's not Christianity. So today you say you will not make a vow. Say, God, you are focused on your needs. And you won't leave that matter alone. That's why you're making all kinds of strange vows. And after telling me a few stories, that when Anna made a vow, God now answered her. I said, Jephthah made a vow and his daughter died. And listen, again, don't forget something. You must even bear it in mind. When those people were even making their vows, they had a different mindset too. And like I said to you before, Hannah didn't give God something that God, the only thing Hannah gave God was a bullock. So what do you mean? God said, any male that opens the womb is mine. So what did he give God that God didn't own before? You gave me Samuel. Whose own was it? Was he? The only thing Anna did was just refuse to redeem the boy. But she still paid the vow for redemption. So technically, let's not even go there. The point I'm trying to make is this. You know, the Bible has different levels of accuracy. You must know, try and learn what you are supposed to learn and know the realm you are supposed to walk in. Christians are not supposed to be making vows. Because when you say those things, why? You want to provoke God, right? I know my doctrine is not very popular, but it's scriptural. You want to persuade him because he's not sure. You want to tie his hand like somebody said once. Say, how much did you use to tie God's hands that day? The lady said, that day my offering was 1,000 naira. I said, that's not enough. You want God to do something for you, you want to tie his hand with 1,000. When Solomon wanted to tie his hand, he tied it with 1,000 burnt offerings. And we think we are making sense. We know that God is very merciful. He will tune off our frequency when we want to pray. These clowns have come again. And we pray some of this prayer with favor. You will say to God, when you do, there's a man who wrote a book on how to vow and then get something from God with vow. These are the vows that should provoke God. In quote, I will follow your will. I will obey your word. I will not serve any other God. That's the end of it. And you see, like I say, so, assume you didn't ask him, you're not asking him for something. Shouldn't you follow his will? Shouldn't you obey his word? So, is that now a vow? No. That's a normal life. It's like me waking up in the house and telling my children, all of you come here. I want you to know that from now on, daddy will have his bath in the morning and comb his hair, the little of it he has left. I promise my shirts will be ironed. I want you to know I'll eat my breakfast. And I'm not going to spill it on my shirt. You know, they'll be looking at me like, guys, what's up here? Is this guy okay? Behind, you're not going to start praying. Lord, renew our daddy to his right senses. Why? He's making vows to do what is normal. I hope you're getting my point here. Listen, Christianity, no, we have to understand. Some of the things we try and pick from scriptures, look, we want to provoke God. God said, I know what provokes me. He said, ask in the name of Jesus. So that is enough provocation. And Jesus said, the Father himself does what? Loves you. Listen, always think about God as a father. I have children. I can't imagine them promising me anything to get something. It's going to be like a joke. If you are not walking in a manner pleasing to him, please start it. And you do that as soon as the word comes to you. Instantly, you renew yourself. That's why you go to listen. You are here this evening. All right? That's why you buy a book. That's why you tune to a radio station, TV station. You download from a website. You listen to a podcast. You listen to somebody preach. That's why. Because you want your life to be conformed to his will. It's not whether I need something, I don't need anything. Our life must not be need-centered. That's the problem. We have lives that are need-centered. That's one major thing I've seen in Christianity. Everybody, pastor could come to church with the idea to preach a message that solves a problem. That meets a need, financial need, emotional need, marital need. And that's why we're reading Psalm 119. From here, we are learning that that is not the prayer of believers. Christians pray at a level that's higher than every other person. And Jesus, listen, he told us that, look, when you start hearing Gentiles pray, it's easy to know they are Gentiles. When you hear children of God pray, it's easy to know. Look at the focus of their prayer. I will listen to us as we're declaring the word just now. And you know, when we're in Port Harcourt praying, I just listened to some of our prayers here different times. And I said, anybody listening will notice that we pray differently from most people. Why? It's just because it's what we learn from scriptures. The prayer is always centered on, and that's what Psalm 119 is about. It's centered on how I can conform myself to the will of God in my life. It's not centered on what I need, what I don't need. It's not centered on what I want to achieve, what I don't want to achieve on this earth. It's not. Achievements on this earth, they are the blessings of God. I will draw the word blessing for a moment, all right? They are the decisions of God. Let me put it like that. They are the endowments of God. I remove the word blessing for a reason, because I don't want people to look like if somebody has achieved something materially speaking, I built a company, is now worth $1 billion, you know, he has achieved, God has blessed him. And the man that hasn't has not been blessed. That's why I withdrew the word blessing for a moment. Because the fact is that you build a company, now you are worth $1 billion, does not mean anything. Listen to me, it means nothing. It's like you are wearing a white shirt and wearing a yellow one, that's all. Your $1 billion is your white shirt. My lack of $1 billion is my pink shirt. Why? We have different assignments in life. The world likes to value your assignment. They can't put a value on what I do. I don't know whether I get my point here. You know, today I was thinking about, let me just drop this briefly. Be careful how the world defines success. In fact, I think I should have mentioned more on this before I start teaching it, but I'm in it already. So let me start talking. How do you define success? I thought about it very seriously today. I'll talk more about it later. How do you define success? The world always turns everything to money. A successful person has built a big business. But I found out that it's not so scripturally. It's not so. How does Jesus define success? He says, be busy with this until I come. So when it comes, it says, your mina has made 10 more. Now this is the point. What is success? You are a preacher. I have given you revelation and understanding. How do I define whether you have succeeded or not? It's not the size of your congregation. It's not how many cars you have. It's not the money you have in your account. It is how many people you have replicated that understanding inside them. Even if I meet you wearing rags, it doesn't matter. Why? He assesses based on what he gave you. Your mina has made what? 10 more. Your mina. What you gave me has made 10 more. Do you get my point here? That's how it is. So if God gives them Bezalel, a skill, ability to make, you know, designs with gold, with silver, bronze. That's what God gave him. The ability to do all of these things. Make artistic work. So when God comes, Bezalel, how well have you done? God will go to his village and see the size of his house. Yeah, this house is big. Will he do that? No. God will walk around the streets and see the quality of the artwork in the neighborhood. If it is not good, Bezalel is a failure. If God comes to him and says, why didn't you design things properly? And he says, they were not willing to pay. You know what happened? They will flog him. God will have him seriously punished. His excuses wouldn't matter. What he will want, there are two things he gave Bezalel. One, the ability to make the designs. And number two, what did he give him? The ability to teach others. So God will just judge the man Bezalel on 2 points. One, he will come, look at the tabernacle that Moses built. All right? He will say, Moses, this cherub you have here is trying to be like the one that you saw in heaven. But it's not the exact copy. You go to Bezalel. Moses will not be punished for that. You say, I gave the job to Bezalel. Bezalel, why didn't you do it? Moses, I didn't like what Moses was paying. I know how much it will take. And Moses was just paying 5 shekels for each day of work. Lord, you say, check out. Does that make sense? Now, God won't check whether Moses agreed to pay or Moses not agreed to pay. The important thing is that I have seen the cherubs that you guys drew. That is not exactly what it's supposed to look like. That is Bezalel's fault. How many craftsmen do we now have in Israel? Just Bezalel and 2 of his sons? What about the spirit of the teacher I put inside him? He said that each boy has to pay 17 shekels and nobody has 70 shekels to pay. So, Bezalel thought that he's coming in there to be valued, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars so he can be on the stock exchange. But God said, no, I want to check whether Bezalel is doing well or not. I want to see how he has multiplied the things that I give to him. I gave him the skill. I need to see the artwork all around. So Bezalel's duty, therefore, is to do what? Make sure the thing goes out and remove as much of the hindrances as is possible. Be careful. Don't let the world define success for you. One guy he wrote us a mail that Kingdom World has spoiled them. Why? Because he tried to download messages from many websites and there to pay to get the messages. Now, if you like charge for your messages, you know why you are doing that, okay? Now, but the guy now said that he now realized what the problem was. That Kingdom World Ministries caused the problem. Why? Because when you come to our website, over 1,000 messages, over 1,100 now, actually, maybe crawling to 1,200 or more, they are all there free. Once it's on the website, you click to download. Books on the website, you click to download. It's just free of charge. Now, people have asked me before, so how do you get money? I've been asked, how do you monetize it? And I said, sorry, there's no plan for that. There's no plan for that. Why? It's simple. What am I more interested in? I know what God will say. I give you this understanding. When I come, I need to see the number of people. That's what it's going to be counting. The number of people that have, taught from me to not have that same understanding. That's what he's counting. He's not counting the size of my house. He's not counting my bank account. He doesn't care what Forbes thinks of my net worth. He just wants to know, Banky, this thing, what have you done with it? How well have you multiplied it in people? So for me, every opportunity you give is what? I mean, it's a blessing. But the world does not value that. They don't have, there's no value system for it. There's no value system for it. There's no value system for it. They don't have the capacity to value it. One day, a young man who works on our website, we're doing some work on it. So he came to my house. So he went to the back end, checked some things. He saw the number of hits in a month. He said, sir, this is plenty. I said, so? He said, we can do something with it. I said, Bina, do your work before I give you a knock. he checked, this amount of hits in a month? I said, do like what? No, Google AdWords. And the guy was looking like, oh God, this is, if Google sees this is money. I should ask him, do I look like Linda Ekeji to you? I'm not talking about that now, but for me it is forbidden. Oh, it's forbidden. It is forbidden. Nothing like that. I'm not advertising for anybody. Not advertising. If you want your advert on my website, preach a word that is hot and smoky. Man, if it blesses me, I'll put the link there. One day I sent the link, Andrew Womack preached some messages, getting God's best. I checked the message, his messages are also free on his website. I checked the size of the files, they were a bit heavy. So I took them, compressed them, uploaded them to our site, and then emailed the link to his own full resolution, the full quality, and the compressed one, and sent all around. One guy ran to me and said that, you're an unusual man of God. You are spreading other preachers' messages. You know, the thing was, look, I listened to that thing. I listened to that thing. If you can lay your hands on it, please get it. Andrew Marx, Getting God's Best. It's a set of like about 4 or 5 messages. I just sent it around. Of course, we have thousands of people on our mailing list. So everybody, please, if you can lay your hands on this, I say, bless me tremendously. Please listen to it. One guy replied, I said, now for Kingdom of God ministry. So this kind of ministry. Yes, that this he felt that, you know, most people want to listen to me alone, you know. Don't listen to no other preacher knows anything. I'm the only one that knows everything. I'm your pastor, your apostle, your evangelist, your prophet, your teacher. You know, no, it's not like that. If something blesses me, of course, if you listen to me long enough, I'm very, very happy to recommend messages. I always do that. I don't know everything. I'm still learning. In fact, it's now I want to start listening to myself. I have this habit. I can't tolerate the sound of my own voice. I don't know why. I just can't. My wife listens to me a lot. When she's playing something, I say, madam, please, can you reduce the volume of that thing? She says, why? You know, trust me, I start picking out everything I said wrong. That pronunciation is not correct. That grammar is not right. Can't you focus on one thing when you are talking? So finally, one of those is my wife said, Lisa, stop disturbing me. I'm the one listening, not you. No, really, I don't know. I plan to start because there are things I teach I've forgotten. Like, you know that thing we taught on Ecclesiastes? I can't remember what we discussed. I said to my wife the other day, I said, 11 days on that matter. I'm trying to remember the things we said. So I said, I need to go and listen to the message again. Okay, but generally, I don't listen to myself. I don't know. Some people say, why will you listen? You know the thing. No, trust me. Unless you are not inspired. If you're a preacher, believe me, a lot of things you say, people have quoted me for me before, and I wonder, who are you quoting? And I wonder, you know, there are things you hear. That, no, Pastor Banky said this. I say, who? Me? When? What was I talking about? If they had not put my name, I would have written it down, that I will quote this in the time I'm preaching. But because they went and told me it was me, honestly. But I listen to other preachers, of course, and I listen to messages almost every day. No, right now I have 3 preachers I'm listening to now. Okay, 4 of them, but 3 very actively. All right, I'm listening to now, and it's not me, and I keep learning. Okay, now just by the way, I keep on going. By the way, doesn't mean I agree with them on everything they say. That's another people don't understand. A lot of people don't understand that. Okay, you don't have to agree with somebody on everything. Okay, as Christians, we can disagree on small. We can be in the same church and disagree on a few things. Just a few trivial things. My wife and I don't even agree on everything. Does your wife agree with you on everything? Can be sure that she doesn't agree with me on some color combination. Now, usually I'm the one that doesn't agree, actually, because as a man, do you combine color? It's only light blue and dark blue. Light ash and dark ash. Light brown and dark brown. The past like that. These women that will be coming with all kinds of colors. You know, when they wanted to confuse us, they introduce one they call pinging. What we used to call color riot, they now modernized it. When we were young, it was color riot. If you wear red with yellow and green, your head is not correct. You know, when we're young. And I say now it's called what? Pinking. So I disagree with that thing 100%. And we are still married. My wife eats strange things sometimes. My wife can decide that she's hungry and she will eat granite and malt at 10 o'clock. I can't understand it. But I can soak garri with granite at 12 midnight. I have no problem with it. My wife can say she's thirsty and she's not. I said, why do you take a drink in your own house? Drink water now. Can you see? Small differences. And we're happy. The Lord is good. So, preachers too, we should be able to disagree with each other on small things, all right? Those of us who are listening. Back to what I was trying to say. Now, for me, therefore, success is how much have I impacted knowledge. You know, I found out something. I found out that for 3 years, Paul was in Ephesus, teaching the word day and night, and working in between to sustain himself. How many of you believe that? Yes. And he said it is abnormal. He wrote to the Corinthians and the Galatians, that's an abnormal thing that I did. He said, but I did it day and night. I know why he said, I'm innocent of the blood of every man. He said, because day and night, I did not cease to declare to you the whole counsel of God. He said, there is nothing I was supposed to tell you. He said, now I know I'm going. I know wolves will come, even from amongst yourselves. People will rise up to draw disciples to themselves. But as for me, I am innocent of the blood of every man. I have removed every obstruction between you and the things that God gave me to declare. I came to a place people don't understand Christian ministry. So I said, lest you think I'm looking for your money. He said, I have coveted nobody's goods. That is, Paul did not allow them one time take an offering for him. When he was in Ephesus. Not like it was wrong. He just said, no. I know what I'm doing here. Now, to let you know it was right, he blessed the Philippians who did it. Oh, no, must understand that. He blessed the Philippians who did it. He took offerings from the Corinthians and took somewhere else. From the Macedonians he took. But when he got to certain regions, certain people, they don't understand. Let's not give them a wrong impression of what ministry is about. 3 straight years, the man was teaching morning and evening. The night before he departed, let me greet them. He spoke till 12 midnight. Then one boy dropped and died. Then he went there, picked the boy up, breathed life back into him, and went and continued preaching. Because he said that was the last time they were going to see him. I'm talking about success. What was success for him? It was not the car they gave him. What was success for him? It was not the house they donated to him. Say, today is pastor's birthday. Praise God. He said, yes, this man is doing well. You know that's what people call he's doing well. Yes, son, he's doing well, though. Ever since he moved to that Abuja, he's doing well. He's doing well. He now has a house in Jabi area. He's doing well. He has a nice car now. You know, he has a car for himself, one for his wife, one for his children. He's doing well. He's doing well. And all of us will be repeating it. Yeah, he's doing well. Oh, thank God he left Enugu and went to Abuja. He's doing well. He's doing well. Both him that disobeyed God and the one saying he's doing well, God will have to punish both of their mouths. What is doing? How do you know a man who's doing well? He bought a car. What kind of stupidity do we practice in Christianity? He said, yeah, he's doing well. One day, one of our brothers ran away to go to Europe. Those, not even now. This was when I was still in university. So one of the sisters, I was asking one sister that knew him better than us. I said, how is he now? He said, he's doing well. I said, what do you mean? How do you know? He said, he sent 2 cars home. I looked at her. I said, what is wrong with you? I took her straight. My cousin was dealing in cars. Those cars are 3,000 guilders for one. That's when Holland was still using guilders. I said, these are cars of 3,000 guilders for one. Then it was equivalent to $1,500. These are old cars rejected in Europe. He sent 2 home. You call that doing well? He's a brother, when we were in school those days, he wanted to preach. You know, this doing well thing, like I say, would they use we when we are talking? Would they open our mouth, talk rubbish, say he's doing well? Why? He sent 2 cars home. Nonsense. Like my wife would say, nonsense. 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 Please, though, don't let the word help you define success. Paul left Ephesus as poor as he came in. God, you see, like I said, when you read the Bible, you have to be very careful. Paul said, 3 years, these hands ministered to my needs and the needs of those who were with me. He didn't say it was a normal thing. Read my book, so we'll pay for this. I explained it inside there. He said, but the man looked and said, anything that will be a hindrance between me
And the ability to tell the Lord, your mina has made 10 more, when it comes to the level of understanding and revelation I imparted into Gentiles, say, no. That's when he taught them, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That is, any man who is giving shouldn't be expecting to receive, should be expecting to be able to give more. But now, you know, we turn it to, when you give, expect to receive. I will brag on it. It's more blessed to give than to receive. It's a giving mindset we live life through. Through life, we are thinking of how well can I give. I don't focus on what am I going to receive. Even if, of course, stuff will come because that's God. Because if you don't receive, somebody else won't be able to give anyway. So, you know, but the attitude is like, if I receive, I know, yes, God has given me greater ability to give. Paul was counting success. He wasn't counting success on what he was able to acquire. He was counting success based on how much knowledge he was able to impart to people. He said at the end of the day, I am innocent of the blood of everyone. The world does not know how to value it. No, they don't. They can't place a value on Paul's life. They put Paul there, look the world today, they will tell you he failed. And they put beside, that time, bring Paul out, bring a businessman of today, put his head on the, you know, say, this man succeeded, this one. And I say, a Christian, say, look, as a Christian, you have to have something to show for it. Listen, the only thing you need to show in your life that you're a Christian is that one, you're a married man, you have eyes for only one woman. That's pass mark. That's your wife alone. The money you have is not a sign of Christianity. Okay, now. No, I'm telling you the truth. That your words are pure is a sign of your Christianity, not your money. The church in Smyrna we saw didn't have any problem, but Jesus said, I know of your poverty. So why didn't you give them money? Why was he not giving them money? He said, the truth is that you are actually rich. That's why I'm not struggling with everybody to pack financial, physical cash into your pocket. You have to know what Christianity is, though. I mean, not you know, people as a Christian have to know, have something to show. You don't need anything to show. You don't. Everything Paul said is to be used and they will perish with using. Your car will age. You need a car to move around, God can bring another one. But that car is never a symbol of anything as far as it's concerned. It's a used thing, you know? It's used. It's used. Just use. So let's not the world help us declare. You know, people be running up and down looking for success. What is success? You see people abide. Jesus is my Lord. They will abandon where God has given them the opportunity to multiply their talent. They will go to where the world has given them the opportunity to multiply money. You can go anywhere you like, but mark my words, you are walking into obscurity. In exchange for what? Good road. In exchange for what? Constant power. You know, recently God blessed me with constant power. I look at all the torch light lantern in my house. They've not been used in months. I said, God, now I'm preaching. I just struck me that. You know, the Lord just said to bless me with constant power. You know, I told you guys now how he did it that time. What is the big deal? I won't sell, but I was willing to stay in darkness anyway. There are stories. When I came to Enugu Transekulu, there was no light, no gen, nothing. It's hot. These are good stories. Have you slept on balcony before? You haven't slept on balcony before. You're not blessed. One of the things that, look, I wouldn't have slept on balcony before. Didn't you do NYC in the north? We slept outside when it was hot. One day I was traveling. I stopped somewhere. I didn't see motor again to go. So that was in Bali. I just looked around where the coppers there. They showed me where the coppers were. I went there. They just finished cooking food. We all sat down, we chop finish. Time to sleep. They throw one big mat like this. Big mat. Well, this is your own corner. All of us just lay down, JJ. Oh God, may God give us peace in Nigeria again. Yeah. It was a beautiful time. We all just lay down there. Around 3 a.m., breeze began to blow. It wanted to rain. So everybody woke up. Now enter into the copper's lodge. I die. Oh, not. People will run and say, you know, you get a rain, can I get a constant? Can I get a constant? Nonsense. The Lord is good. What am I going to say?
I know what I'm saying anyway. Success, listen to me, is not what the world calls success. Success is the ability to multiply what God gave you. That's what success is. Whether it makes money or not. And let me say this again. Christians often forget. One day. Tell your neighbor one day.
One day.
That one day is coming. Oh. No, let me talk that one. Don't worry. One day. That day will come. I've noticed something in life. These days always come. They will eventually come. One day, you will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and you will have to give account for how you lived your life. That day will show up. It will come. You have to be able to defend. I'm serious, I'm telling you. You have to defend. Okay, old boy, I gave you revelation to preach concerning this matter. Why didn't you preach it? Now, did you preach it? Say, Lord, were you not in Nigeria? So you didn't preach it? No, Lord, I did not preach it. Why? One day I tried to preach it. My pastor said if I do, he will demote me. And I checked it. I had a wife, 2 children. They demote me. School fees was getting, near. I found that my denomination said they will remove my cassock. So at night, I used to remind you to preach it. During the day, at night, that's the Lord speaking now. At night, I remind you to preach it. During the day, you fear man, you don't fear me. You fear poverty, you don't fear me. Kenneth Hagin said, the Lord one day appeared to him in a vision and said, just be happy. I allowed your hand to break. It didn't really break, but he had a serious injury on his hand. That's why you are in hospital now. And that's why we are talking. He said the Lord appeared to him, the Lord Jesus, that he used to walk around the streets of Jerusalem, Nazareth, Capernaum, Bethlehem, appeared to him, took a chair. He said he took a seat my wife vacated less than 30 minutes ago and said to him, just be happy. This happened. Don't be angry with me that your hand broke. He said, because if your hand didn't break, I would not have the discussion. I keep on mixing the days. He said, you know that I lived beyond the age of 57. You will have died at the age of 57 or 55, thereabout. Why? He said, because, now listen to this. I ordained you to be a prophet and a teacher. You were teaching very actively. Listen, you don't know how to judge the things of other people, though. That man was such a good man. He was teaching and teaching accurately, teaching faith, teaching hope, teaching love. And this same Jesus had appeared to him before and spoken to him and said, go and teach my people faith. The Holy Spirit shouted for him when he was a little boy, I have taught you faith from my word and from your experiences. Now go and teach my people faith. The same Lord appeared to him one day, say, teaching was not your primary assignment, you know it. Prophesying. He said, your words I will use to judge you. Because he played for him in his mind. When you were so and so church, you were preaching, you said that the Lord has made me a prophet and a teacher. When last did you prophesy? That time he was a young man, he was in his 30s or 40s, early 40s. That the Lord will have waited for more than 15, 20 years thereabout, waiting for him to change his mind. Now, this is what I'm talking about. He said, why was it happening like that? It was simply because the man said, people did not enjoy, not in Nigeria now, people want people to prophesy. That time they didn't want you to prophesy, they wanted you to teach. And secondly, he said there were a lot of charlatans all over town. So he didn't want to be classified with those prophets. He said, for that reason, he stopped prophesying. There was another reason, interestingly enough. There was a time he used to have a revelation concerning his wife, and he did not like that revelation. He felt his wife was going to die early. So those things put together, he used to back off. When the spirit of the prophet will come upon him, that spirit of the prophet will come, he will knock it off. It is written, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophets. So he will refuse to prophesy, and he will continue to teach. You know this interesting part? He teaches. I enjoy his teaching. But if you listen to him, the time you are blessed most is when he's doing prophetic teaching. When his teaching is based on prophetic things. When he will tell you that the Lord said this to, and begin to talk. A lot of things I teach now that I understand now was because he operated his prophetic office. And the Lord said you were going to die. The age of 55, 57 maximum, if you did not switch from just being a simple teacher into becoming a prophet and teacher. After that, he didn't care what other people thought to. The man said, prophesying to save his own life. If you don't like it, it's your problem. It was almost 90 when he finally died. You are getting my point here? So don't let the world tell you what is success and what is not success. Your car is not the sign of success. I say he's doing well. What is doing well? There's a big man in this country, bishop of a massive congregation, spread nationally and internationally. A prophet used to be in Nigeria. Old man has died long ago. So when that man started his church, he told people that this man just walked away from the plan of God for his life. Yet that church grew. The church grew nationally, internationally. Yet that old prophet looked. When this man started, shook his head. Said, this guy just walked away from the plan of God for his life. Yet that walking away produced big churches. Don't let anybody... Look, and are you sure that old man was right? Trust me, he was right. Don't let anybody come and tell you what success is. He's doing well. What is doing well? You don't have the ability to express your gift. He said you are doing well. Trust me, you are dying well. They use prosperity to cap your destiny. Use promotion to close your mouth. I remember what they told, what your God told you when you were a redeemed pastor. And this guy used to be a redeemed pastor. Look at him. What everybody was doing, Greek, one day his guy, his region provincial pastor called and said, this boy, don't you want to rise in this place? He looked at him and said, okay. He didn't tell him when his mind, I came to preach, I didn't come to rise. Because, you know, conform so they can promote you. So I will post some people here to a place where they will suffer. People were lobbying to come to headquarters. No, for them, that was promotion. So he said, don't you want to rise in this federal government of this civil service? Don't you want to rise? The man don't say rise. I came here to preach. I didn't come here to rise. So they put paper down and say, I'm resigning. Ah. Some people did not believe it because career path. They don't gauge him. They even told him that he married a Yoruba woman so he can become a G.O. I'm not joking. If you know what, people who call themselves Christians, sometimes their brain... What in Tundebakare said? Tundebakare said that when Muslims are entering the mosque, they remove their shoes. But when Christians are entering the church, they remove their brain. So when you get in front of a Christian church, all the brains are outside. But in Muslim mosque, the shoes are there. Christians talk once in a while, like, you just listen. They actually said the man went to marry a Yoruba girl so that he will rise. You now know why they are doing what they are doing. Listen, Apostle, we will still pray, but we will talk. Truth I found out is very bitter. How did I find out? Not because Englishman said it. I was reading my Bible in Ephesus. Paul was moving. Messages were, you know, the world was prospering. A man said, this guy wants to spoil our silver business. Why was he angry with Paul? Not because Paul was lying. It's because if everybody believed, nobody will buy idols again. I read the Living Translation. He said he kept the silversmiths very busy. The man has so much orders. Every silversmith that was making the statue of Artemis, put in your house. Then after a while, business dropped by 60%. Why? People were not buying it. Why were not buying again? Because they were now believing the true gospel. This man called all the craftsmen,
So when people are resisting the truth, it's money. A lot of people are not obeying the truth. It's because of what? Money. You told me, somebody was saying, you told me, a man of God told you that, that this doctrine of tithe that we preach, we know it's not true. But if we don't preach it, where will we get money from? This is a pastor of a church told this man. You just go to Dream FM and be scattering our business. But I'll go and buy a bulletproof vehicle. I'm telling you, and somebody has told me before, he said, where do you expect the church to get money from? That's why we manufacture tithing, first fruit. What's the name of the other one now? Redemption of firstborn. When Jesus redeems you, and you go see. Let me tell you, all this money you are collecting, God will collect his thing back. She have been warning all you pastors. One day God will collect his money back. All the firstborns you have redeemed. We keep on manufacturing. Then one day we wake up and say, last year, and just check, Apostle, how was the account? Not balanced. We're short by like 6 million at the end of the year. Ah. This year, introduce the year with value added tithe. Said the reason why Ananias and Sapphira died was because their offering was not complete. I heard that one recently. Have you heard it before? The Ananias and Sapphira died because offering was not complete. Have you heard that one before? Then God will have mercy on us. From me to Kimute and every other person. And you that's giving the money. All of you, all of us, we need mercy. Ananias and Sapphira died because offering was not complete. Was that why they died? Was it not clear that there's a light? Peter said that if you like, if you have given us 10 naira, I would have said, okay, I brought 10 naira, only 10 naira, that's all I want to give. No issues. One of the ones that wrote us a mail, that please, do you accept first fruit? I said, what? But I will accept first fruit in Kingdom World Ministries. I said, please, offering or offering? No. I don't know which one is first or second or third. She said the reason why she's asking because her pastor said that he's not collecting unless it is complete. And this is what I said. I'm not kidding, no. He said to the pastor, said, last year, when I gave it complete, I almost died in February. No, the sister said, he told the pastor, that listen, Oga, last year I gave you complete. It's February, I suffer like no man's business. He said, look, I've just taken small for transport for February till the month we end. The pastor said, no, if the whole January salary is not complete, it's not the first fruit. So I composed a reply. I said, don't talk to him. Just put whatever you want to put in an envelope. It's between you and God. Put it in the offering basket and go home. Then she replied, I said, pastor, no need. I don't spend the money. My good. Good. The Lord is good. Oh. Mm. Now, what, do you know, sometimes when you reach this place, you are not even in control. Apostle, where was I? Now you remember where I was. Where was I? I know you told me that one before. I want to hear something else. Okay, I don't know where I was. Okay. The Lord is good. Oh, my friend, is that, listen. Don't let the world set another agenda for your life, please. No, don't let the world set another agenda for your life at all. People, you know, you don't know what's pushing them. That's why I talked about Ken Hagin. The fear of man pushed him at a point in time. That beautiful teacher of the world will have died early and will have been wondering. How many preachers have died? And we're wondering. They say Satan killed them. Say it's not Satan. The Lord called them unprofitable. The church in Ephesus, you know the story we're reading about in the book of Revelation. Everything was okay apart from the love they had at the beginning. It was gone. God said, despite the fact that you did not tolerate false apostles, you have endured for my name, you have perseverance, yet because the love is now weaker than before, I will have to shut you down. So that's what I'm saying. Don't let the world tell you what is success. You bought a car doesn't mean you have succeeded. There are those that they dedicated a car. God said, this boy can't live long. He's useless. He's an unprofitable servant. He's take, you know, you must understand God sees your heart.
He knows what to take pride in. One day they asked a man, you know they preach for your church? He said, when I buy my car, they will let me preach. Wow. I told the person to him, I said, now you know why they didn't let him preach. You can hear his heart. Such a man will struggle and labor and finally buy that car. And God said, I'm closing his ministry down. Why? He has now collected the right to talk in a material thing. So I withdraw my anointing from him. The world must never tell you what success is. There are many things that the world has glamorized, like when I say all the time. One of my sisters, the other day, wrote an article about it. They make it look like if you have only a child or two, you are a forward-looking woman. We had a long discussion with my brethren. I said, listen, don't argue against the scriptures. There are many things that some people did not participate in. Paul didn't have a wife, but James had. You know how I know? Paul said that, are we the only ones that don't have the right to have a sister to accompany us? James was married. Paul, Peter was married. All the other people were married. All of them. The only people not married in mission those days were Paul and his co-workers. Paul didn't, if you had a wife, Paul wouldn't take you on mission. I'm convinced about that. If you're married, you couldn't follow Paul. We'll be preaching, we'll be checking your WhatsApp message. Paul didn't understand it too. But he explained that, look, it was for a reason. The same reason why he was laboring and preaching in Ephesus. So I said to my brethren, look, you don't want to have many children. Make sure you have a good reason for it. Paul wouldn't have wanted any at all. He didn't even want a wife. He said everybody has his own gifts of God. However, Paul didn't have a wife. Doesn't mean a wife is not good. God said it's not good for man to be alone. And when it comes to children, you know what God said? Blessed is a man that has a quiver full. People say it depends on the size of your quiver. Sorry, don't be silly. Look at it in context. In context, say this man is going to war. The more bullets he has, the better. He said, it depends on the size of your gun now. You are going to war. You are carrying a small gun. No, are you not begging to be killed? I told my brother, I said, listen, you don't have to have many children. It's your problem. But please don't open your mouth. Because one of us, I wrote an article, that's how I did. That people said, what do you want to do with the children? He said, I want to love them. I want to go to their graduation ceremony. I want to take pride in the fact that I'm their mother. Why am I saying so? The world now makes it look like the successful woman is the one that hits to be CEO of what they call a Fortune 500 company. And Christians will queue up behind and be agreeing with them to discover your identity. Look, listen, what am I talking about? Don't let the world give you a standard of a measurement of success. Many people in their cars are driving to hellfire. Expensive cars racing to hellfire. They'll get there faster because the car is very fast. It's true. Many people will ride Keke Napep, a 70,000 naira motorbike, or trek into a glorious throne in eternity. So what is temporal? Don't sell eternal things for temporal and material things. The world will just carry and be teaching people what is important. And which pastors will now come to our church and get vanity. The moment you enter our church, all your vanity will be multiplied. If you, if you had only one suit before, when I pray for you, prosperity will come, you have seven suits. More vanity in your life. Believe me, I have a lot of clothes, and I've discovered the more you have, the more confusing your life is. Well, I'm happy all of you know. If I had only my black suit, a white shirt, and maybe four ties, dressing would be very, very easy. Yeah, it's very, very easy. Very easy. Say, which color? Your wife said, which suit do you want to wear? He said, the black one. It's simple. It's the only one inside there. Which shirt? The white shirt. Then you'll now be checking which tie. He said, just put the tie in the row. First Saturday of the month, blue tie. Second, just. And you know, it doesn't affect the quality of the message you are preaching. Those of you who used to believe those lies that when people see you, they know your God is good. Rubbish. Listen, what matters is how the words burn in their hearts when you are talking. That's what mattered. How the words burn in people's hearts when you are talking, not what you look like. Let's the word, look, I don't know why you're sitting on it today. Let the word not define for you what success is. There are people that are on one spot, you know, they are looking for a job, they don't have a job for a year or two. And God said, this is my plan for this season. Go and work for free. Work for a hard tax master. I won't give you plenty of money. If I give you money, you start having ideas. Because my wife yesterday, you know, Nigerians are obsessed with traveling abroad. You know that? Poor people will be saving money to go for a holiday. So, you know, you need to see the world. Believe me, you will still see this world one day or the other. One way or the other, you know you will. Yeah, one day you will see it. How did Moses see it? In the spirit. God carried him in the spirit and he saw everything. When you die, take blood. I need to take a tour before I go to heaven. He will carry you everywhere. I'm telling you, he will carry you everywhere. You will still see it. I was reading the story the other day by Sadhu Sundarsel Viraj about the Maharishi of Kailash. The guy, he travels around the world to come and pray with people. And nobody sees him. Lives in a cave in the Himalayas. High level, cold. He said he goes around praying for Christians worldwide. Look, people say he's safe for a holiday. Never safe for a holiday. You know how I know? Solomon said it's vanity. Solomon said it's what? Vanity. You know what makes vanity? How you enjoy vanity? It must blow on you. Once you work for it, you decrease. Original. Something is vain. You're not allowed to stress yourself for it. World just create all kinds of, you know, signs of progress. And Christians will queue on it and be believing God for it. Father, in the name of Jesus, this holiday, me and my children will go abroad. There are prayers that if you pray, God will remove your prayers too. That your altar versus altar, you won't have any altar to answer people again. That's why people sow all kinds of seeds. Pastor Ogebude, they sow all kinds of seeds because they have wrong targets. If you understood that some things did not matter, you won't sow seed for them. Sow a seed for your car. I said, God, if you don't think I need a car, hold it. But the money I have right now, I have other uses for it. I'm not sowing it for the car. Thank you. I'm not joking, though. I hereby ban you from sowing seeds for car. So what if I want one? Let your request be made known to God. And leave it there. It's not your focus. Your focus, let's get back to where we began from. Is Psalm 119. That's what we've been talking about, the prayer of Christians. The focus of the prayer of Christians is how to conform with the will of God for their lives. That is all. The focus of the prayer of Christians is understanding the word of God. The focus of the prayer of Christians is how to stop being short of God's glory and coming up to the level of God's glory where they think the way God thinks. Where when they encounter the commandments of God, they are not ashamed. Where even when God doesn't give an express commandment, but by the precepts of God, they understand. Are you getting my point? They are living their lives. Then when they encounter the commandments, they say, we always knew that that wouldn't be right to do anyway. Why? We've been conformed to the precept of God. The things people are looking for in life, God, Jesus said they are additions. All other things shall be what? Are dead. He says, seek this one. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That is, if Christians were supposed to be praying, I mean, when we are praying, what's our prayer? Our prayer is always in two areas. One, the kingdom of God being established in our personal lives, and two, the kingdom of God being established around us. So we pick up the matter of prayer. The kingdom of God be established in the government in Nigeria, we start praying. We pray for the rulers. We pray for the leaders. We pray. We pray for wisdom. We pray for them, that is for wisdom for them, to the end that there will be peace in the nation so that we can spread the kingdom. If they are shooting anywhere, we can't leave our homes to go and preach the gospel. We travel all the time to go and preach in Makurdi. Thank God for the peace he gives us when we travel. That is what it is for. The other day we were talking about my car. I said, next time they want to sell my car, the car will say, are we going to a pastor's house? Over the last few weeks, the car, our car. We started from here. Azuzum, start. That was 6 hours drive. We got there. We preached that evening, preached the following evening. Next morning, we drove 8 hours to Port Harcourt. Then finished preaching 2 days in Port Harcourt. That's why we needed the cars. Are you getting my point? The cars needed to move. They are on our way to Makodi. I said, ah, next time they want to sell this car. The car will ask them, are we going to the pastor's house? They said, no, there's one rich woman and her children. They move, just school run. I said, thank you. So yeah, what's the name of the receipt? Reverend. I said, no. They want to start the car. The car just break down the shop. I'm not going. Start, my friend. No. Last pastor's house I went to, I know what I saw. The Lord is good. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's our focus. How do I advance the gospel? I told one of my friends today, he told me something there. I was in Israel. I just shook my head. He said, that this he wants to go for. He's going to put my name after him. What is it? It's an American business, and it's when you go, they pay this amount on a monthly basis. And then they will give your wife working permit. And then residency permit for you and your children. And after 5 years, they are citizens. They say, at least you have settled your family. I said, oh, Lord, wow. In my mind. So I said, my brother, you know I'm running a ministry now. He said, this does not stop. Look, you can do your ministry from anywhere. This is modern day. I was sad. So you consider that an advantage? 5 years. Many of you don't realize, look, it's a matter of fact. I told the Lord then, I am willing to be poor and preach. I told him straight. I told him he didn't have to give me a car. It was not important. I only asked him for one favor. That if he's going to be like that, please don't give me a wife. That was what Paul did. I prayed that prayer sincerely. I prayed this sincerely. The only thing I ask of you is, please, let it be a solo run. Preaching is not a problem. Being poor is not a problem. I told the Lord straight, but let it be a solo run. That's the only beg I begged. I couldn't even demand of it, because when you don't make a deal with the Lord, you don't own yourself. He owns you 100%. And I just beg, say, Lord, can I ask you for a favor? If he's a man, must rough him through this life, no problem. But I'd like to do it alone. If I'm hungry and alone by myself, not a problem. But I don't want children saying, Daddy, I want to eat, and I don't have anything to give them. I said, Lord, that's not be good. You know, you say, check out. No good. No, and I meant it. And someone would tell me that, sometimes I wonder, I say, people, maybe, we are praying as believers. Our prayer is simply, God, let your will be done in my life. Let your truth be reflected in me. Let your truth be birthed in my life. Let everything I do be in conformity with that which is pleasing to you. Let the words of my mouth, let the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. That's all. Every other thing, addition here and there. Like we read the other thing in this Psalm 119. He said, incline my heart to your testimonies and not to gain. That is, even if I want to be a businessman, let personal gain not be the primary reason I'm going in there. Like I keep on repeating, for Christians, business is about one, establishing righteousness. Establishing righteousness means to teach people what is right to do. I'm not doing this because, look, there are two women, two people, a woman and a man, that I read their story, Henry Ford and Mary Kay Ash. They voted them on American University, voted them the greatest entrepreneurs of the last century. Why? Because of the way they build business. But both of them, at different times, I read their stories. Mary Kay Ash said, I just wanted to teach the world how to do business. That my experience in Stanley Home Products for those years was not ideal. They didn't handle things well. So she wrote a book. Guys, please, next time, do it like this. And then you know what happened? She told herself, she finished the book. I said, who will read it? It was the Holy Spirit talking to her. Who will read the book? Nobody. Why? You need to demonstrate whether it's true these principles that you are teaching? Oh, he said, okay, let's start marketing something. She was not a fan of cosmetics. She just looked for something she could market. And then she found out a friend of hers or a neighbor, their father was a tanner, you know, people who color leather. And they found that the man's hands looked younger than the rest of him. Why? Because of the things he used to dip his hand inside while working in leather. So they had formulated, extracted the things that made skin smooth and young from those things. And they are made into some crude cosmetics. So that became the first thing she wanted to promote. So you get to her Time-Wise collection. That's why it started. She wasn't trying to sell cosmetics. She said, like, let me show people how to do marketing. So she started a marketing company. So Mary Kay Cosmetics is actually a marketing principle company, with the cosmetics being the product with which they sold the principle to people that learned this. By the time I was reading her story, she had 2 million women worldwide selling her products. Mike Murdoch at the time said there was a time she had $2 billion in cash. To even make it more interesting, God started giving her money from every source, but people only knew her for her cosmetics range. Henry Ford, the same thing. Henry Ford had quarrels with at least 3 sets of business partners. Why? He said, this is not how to do business. Henry Ford said, cars are for utility. People are supposed to use them. So we are supposed to make them as cheap as possible so we can give to as many people as possible. But everybody was making cars then for the rich. He said, no, the car is not for the rich. A car is for people to move around. It's like shoes. So if the poor can't afford it, we should find a way to make sure they can afford it. They need it. That was his principle. So a man just kept, that's what I'm talking about, establishing righteousness. The man kept on pursuing that. So he quarreled with everybody. Look, in case you're a banker, don't be angry. Henry Ford did not like you. That bankers think life is about money. They don't understand that money is a tool. Henry Ford said money has the same value as a hammer. It's a tool you use to do business. He said bankers will kill a company to recover their money. He said, no, you should pump in more money to make sure the company does not die. So the man never borrowed a dime from any bank. When he wanted to build his headquarters, he added $50 to the cost of his cars. When they finished building it, he removed the money from the cost of the cars. He said, I'll build my car one by one. He built the first one, sold it. Built the second one, sold it. After a while, he had enough money to build 3. What was his principle? This thing is supposed to reach as many people as possible. So if this year, they said, how many cars do you sell? They said 2,000. I said, okay, that means 2,000 people now have cars. Good. He said, why can't 5,000 have? They said, only 2,000 could pay. He said, what are we doing that's too expensive? These men are not making enough. If we can increase their production, the unit cost of the car will drop. So he sits down and starts and adapted some that already existed by somebody else, but we now think he invented, I've forgotten the person's name now, the assembly line system. He didn't invent it, somebody else did. But he adapted it to car manufacturing for the sole purpose of dropping the cost of production. So Henry Ford always counted success for him in the number of people that can buy the cars. Henry Ford believed that if I make a machine for you, if it spoils, you know what he says? Your name is not on the car, even though you bought it, my name is on it. That when you look at the car, you say this is a Ford. Your name is not Ford, my name is Ford. So if the car breaks down, it's not your problem, it's my problem. So he planted repair stations everywhere that Ford cars are not meant to break down. That it bears my name, my integrity is behind it. So he offered warranties. So Ford didn't understand why he should buy another car. He said, the one I gave you should be good enough. So Ford Motor Company was built on that principle. That's what the Bible calls righteousness. I've given this story to let you know that the people came out to establish righteousness, not to make money. But at the end of the day, the man was just too rich. He bought plantations in Mexico, in Brazil, anywhere. Because he said, okay, buying rubber, the people, it's okay, go and buy the rubber plantation. Because he needed to make his tires. Read his story. Always looking for ways to cut down the cost of production. He tripled the wages of his workers. He said, why should a man be making a car he cannot drive?
Of course, people will not choose to say the man is crafty. That is because, you know, if he pays you well, you won't run away. For him, it wasn't about that. It's about, why are you working and you are not happy? He built quarters for his staff and inspected them. He said, dirty house makes for diseases. If your houses are dirty, you will all fall sick and you won't be able to work. So when people are going out, it's not let's go and make money. So if you get to a place, you have no impact, you're just making money, Jesus, on the day of judgment, will flog you. Unless you know, there are people that, God said, what is their ministry? They're in the giving ministry. You know, there are people like that. When everybody else struggles and makes 1,000 naira, you won't do 10% of their struggle, you make 50,000. Anytime you find your life like that, don't feel like you are... They think they have sense. They think they are rich. Many Christians, day of judgment, listen to me. You know what James said? How do you reach? That is, being rich is a fearful thing. He said, blessed are the poor, literal. When a Christian is rich, he has to be careful. You know, when you are very poor, and your money has gone for paying rent, paying children's school fees, giving 200 naira every Sunday, you don't have much to account for. God will now say, okay, what did you do with your talent for singing? Say, I sang. What did you do with your talent for this one? I did it. He won't ask, what did you do with money? God, you didn't give it to me. Why did they ask me that kind of question? He won't ask. He knows he didn't give you. Once you are honest, you are straight, you just had enough money to take it. God will say, okay, no problem. But there are people that, when they wake up in the morning, when they sneeze, it's 1 million naira. I know people those days, they just make one or two phone calls. When I used to work for 5,000 naira a month, those two phone calls is 70,000 naira. They did not steal. Oh, I knew them in Lagos. That was how God cured me of the love of money. Not the love of money. God didn't help me love money. He didn't allow me love money for a long time. But I found out those who had money were not people who worked the hardest. They say you need to work smart, rubbish. There are people who don't. Look, one of our brothers was telling me the other day, there's a book about, there's a new book just came out about the man who started Nike. You know Nike, the sportswear company. The man said why he made it, there's no reason. Because he kept on giving up. It was one man that worked for him that refused to give up. The man will make deals and call him and say, I've struck a deal. And the company will grow. Then he will get tired and frustrated and he will go away. His worker kept on working. So he said, look, if I come and tell you I know how to do it, don't believe me. Because I didn't even want to do it. It's this man that was working for me that kept on doing everything. I said, well, you don't work hard, you work smart. The race is not to the smart. Forget that thing. I've seen very stupid people that have a lot of money. I'm telling you. Look, don't think you know how to do it. Those that I told you, when I got to Lagos after you said that, I found out. I said, so this is how boys make money. My colleagues, they want to buy a car, they want to buy a car. They will work three jobs. You know what to call three jobs? Me, I've done two before. Three. You know what's three? I'll tell you what three is in case you don't know. Three means 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. in Bacharon Clinic. 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. in Temedu Clinic. This is Lagos. Then 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. as you do motor clinics. How you get from one to the other is your problem. Yes, my guys did it. And for all of that, you know how much they earned? 15,000 bucks a month. It's 5,000 naira for the regular job. When I just finished NYC. And I say money had more value that time. That is true. But let me tell you the kind of value it had. I leave the people that wore shoes of 25,000. Shoes. My cousin's shoe and bag was $400. Her, then I didn't know what they call Brazilian hair, but her hair was $200 to attach, you know? The person selling you gave her $200 in cash. I was a driver, I was my cousin's driver, just a driver, following up and down. Because I called her, I said, no, I'm not doing anything. Come and drive me, I'm going somewhere. Hey! I saw guys spend money. I remember one day we went to the market together, I wanted to buy something. I said, do you like this one? I like this one. I said, let me check. This one. I said, don't waste my time. Take both of them. We'll decide later. It's like, look, I have where I'm going. If you can't decide, okay, package both of them. How much is it? Pay. When we get home, decide the one you like. I said, oh, more. I'm telling you. That was when I made up my mind. I said, God, if you want to bless me, go ahead and do it. If you don't want to do it, I won't quarrel with you. But I will never struggle for it, I promise you. Because I found out that by experience, I found out that money was not to the smart or to the hardworking. I found out. So a man made, when I was working a whole month to earn 6,000 naira, they did deal, they didn't steal. I was there beginning to the end. At the end of the day, 700,000 is the profit on it. The whole thing didn't take more than a month. The guy who brought, the man who bought that car, I remember, I was there, not story, when they counted and gave him 35,000 naira. That was my 7 month salary. I found out that indeed the race is not to the swift. The battle is not to the strong. Bread is not for the mighty, nor favor for men of understanding. He said, time and chance happens to them all. That's when I found out. That's why I lost the drive for hustle, because of money. No, if I can't explain what I'm doing, leave it. You do something just purely because of money, I'm not doing. This is the one that was only 5,000 a month. I was there about two phone calls. Yes, two phone calls. A man calls, I have so dollars in the US. So I want to move to Nigeria. Do anybody who needs? Okay, let me make a call. Call somebody in Nigeria. Okay, how much? I want to say 70 naira. Then, that was the price that time. At that point, they say, okay, I buy for 72. The man who made the call, he collects 2 naira on each dollar. And he does not leave his office. And what the total? 70,000 naira. That's 1 year's salary. No, 1 year and 2 months. I looked, I said, blessed be the name of the Lord. I am not struggling for this money again. When it was time to come to Enugu, that I didn't have any problem coming to Enugu. So there are people like that. But if you're a Christian like that, woe. What did I say? What do you mean by woe? Every naira has to be accounted for. The guy who just pays children's school fees, buys food, and gives 200 every Sunday, they don't ask him for that one. As you make that million naira, God is watching you. Hey, I'm going to Disney for this weekend. God looks like, what was that money for? There's a new mission opening in Maiduguri. What did he say? When they told him, he said, what are they looking at Maiduguri? Let them come to the south. Let them come to the south. Everything is safe. Then one day, you know, you are feeling rich on the earth. One day you get to heaven, you start feeling poor. They will make you a gate man to Lazarus. You'll be surprised. You say, who? God said, I said Lazarus. Well, I'm not a beggar at my gate, yes. If you talk again, I send you to the other end where your colleague went. Lazarus is coming out in the morning. You are the one that will clean his shoes in heaven. Trust me. According to Rick Joyner, they will put you in a place where with your telescope, you can't even see the throne of heaven. Go and read Rick Joyner's final quest. You think everybody's the same level. He said, heaven is full. The throne of God is at one extreme. There are people that they put so far away, the light of God don't even reach their corner. They need the other saints to bounce the light and it reaches them. And some of these people that you find in those dark corners, they were rich on the earth. They went everywhere. They were in Switzerland. Their children learned to ski. You know, you see, when your children know how to ski, they grow up strong. Go and ask Atilogu dancers how strong they are. They didn't have to ski. People be talking all kind of nonsense. And they get to heaven, God will put them at the back somewhere, say, unprofitable servant. I gave you money, you were flinging. There are things that God said, if I give you the opportunity, don't pick. One, be a teacher. I said, don't pick it. Two, have plenty of money, don't pick it. There are jobs God doesn't want you to volunteer for. Say, let me make sure I pose them on you. You know what James said? Teaching time. Say, Pastor Frank, everybody's laughing, you are talking. I will ask you to explain everything you said. Just make sure they are correct. If they are not correct, come back next time and say, guys, the one way I talk last night, I came to talk, I'm not being real. Change it to, James said, teachers are judged in a separate compartment where punishment is double, not reward, punishment. Reward is normal, punishment is double. No, go and check. He said, no, James said, teachers are judged with stricter judgment. Listen, if you're a preacher, don't just say you are. This thing is popular. This thing makes money. They will listen to me. God will punish you for it one day. You don't just get up, open your Bible, and say anything because it is popular and it makes money for you. You will answer for it one day. If it's not true, shut up. Especially when you know it's not true. So if we don't say it, now how would the church get money? God said, all right, the church will get money, you will get punishment. Just watch me. There are jobs he doesn't want you to volunteer for. Having plenty of money, forget the fact that the world thinks it's a glamorous thing. The Lord doesn't think so. The Lord thinks you have, he said, is that my money? You will explain where it went. You went and bought Gucci shoes. No wahala. He will sit you down one day and show that this shoe you bought, the value in real terms was no more than 3,500 naira. But you were so stupid, they sold it to you for 150K. 150 minus 3,500. You do the arithmetic. Account for that balance. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. Listen, just take this world system, flip it upside down. That's heavenly system. In the world, if you get, you have tried. You worked hard. In heaven, when you give, that is when it is good. Psalm 119. Let's read this. Then we can go home. Let's rise to our feet to read it. So what is the Bible about? What is the prayer of a Christian about? It's about Psalm 119. Every segment you find Psalm 119 is almost repetitive. Help me to understand you. Incline me my heart to love you. Incline my heart to your word. Show me favor and give me understanding in your word. Do good to me. Let me know your truth. Everything. Last time we stopped in verse 40, right? Now let's read from verse 41. Now this is how we are going to read it. Let me read New Living Translation. This time around, I'm going to read it and you will repeat what I have read. Are you getting my point? All right. I'm ready from verse 41. But listen to what you can look at the Bible, but I want to repeat what I'm saying. All right. Now David began to pray in verse 41, and I want us to understand it and make it our prayer also. He said, Lord, give me your unfailing love, the salvation you promised me. Repeat that. Lord, give me your unfailing love. He said, then I can answer those who taunt me, for I trust in your word. Now I said in verse 43, do not snatch your word of truth from me, for your regulations are my only hope. He said, I will keep on obeying your instructions forever and ever. Declare that. I will keep on obeying your instructions forever. Say it one more time.
I will keep on obeying your instructions forever and ever.
Say it one more time.
I will keep on obeying your instructions forever and ever.
Now listen to verse 45. Interesting. It said, I will walk in freedom, for I have devoted myself to your commandments. Before you read it, let me read that from New American Standard. He said, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. I like the word precepts because it lets us understand that there are principles to walk in life by. And David said, when I walk in those precepts, I will walk in liberty. Now let me read it and repeat to me. Say, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. Say it.
I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts.
Now said in verse 46, I will speak to kings about your laws, and I will not be ashamed. Declare that.
I will speak to kings about your laws.
He said, how I delight in your commands, how I love them.
How I delight in your commands, how I love them.
He said, I honor and love your commands, I meditate on your decrees.
I honor and love your commands.
Declare that again. I honor and love your commands, and I meditate on your decrees. One more time. I honor and I love your commands. I meditate on your decrees. Let us stop there. Let's just stop there. We'll stop there, verse 48. Let's give the Lord thanks for today. Say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for liberty. You know, I think everything I've said today, talking about that standard, is a precept of God. He said, I will walk in freedom. I will walk in liberty, for I seek your precepts. Today, what I've discussed essentially is the precepts of God concerning success in life. Success is not, you have many churches, you have many branches as a preacher. No, success is that the gift that God placed upon me, I released it, I expressed it. I taught people the word. I taught them righteousness. That is what success is. Say, Lord, thank you for your precepts. Say, now I'm walking in liberty. I have the liberty to serve. I have the liberty in the presence of the Lord. I have liberty. I walk in liberty. Satan cannot hold me. I walk in liberty.
I walk in liberty. I walk in liberty. Let's give the Lord thanks. Say, Lord, we thank you. 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 Let us pray that prayer one more time. Say, Lord, incline my heart to your testimonies and not to gain. Amen. Yeah, begin to pray it for yourself. Say, Lord, incline my heart. Make me love your word. Let me help me to love your precepts, not gain. I was talking earlier, I didn't even finish it, talking about why Christians do business. Not because of money. It's to establish righteousness, establish a good name. Say, Lord, help me to love your precepts and not gain. Help me to love your precepts, not gain. Help me to love your precepts and not gain. If you look, because people have different things in mind. Preachers, help me to love your precepts and not fame. Help me to love your precepts, not a large congregation. Help me to love your precepts, not oh, this is the fastest growing church. No, help me to love your precepts. Incline my heart to your precepts. Let's give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we give you thanks. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. Amen. Our Father, we thank you. Father, we love you. Thank you. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed.
Amen.
Now, let's share the grace in fellowship. You know the way we do it. Want to let's go. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of multiplication and dominion in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, please bless somebody beside you. This is your season of multiplication and dominion. Bless another person. This is your season of multiplication and dominion. Grab one more person and bless the fellow. This is your season of multiplication and dominion in the name of Jesus. Now, give one to yourself. This is my season of multiplication and dominion. Share of brethren.